I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning. I'm thankful that we come here and sing praises to your name and hear your word. I just pray now, Lord, as we spend time in your word, that inspires us to follow after you in a deeper way, that encourages us to be thankful in our lives, Lord. And I'm just thankful for this church and for everything you've done in my life through it. And I'm thankful for each person that's here to hear your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're starting out our new series, and this is our Christmas series, and it's called Christmas To-Do List. And in it, we're going to deal with things that we should be doing at Christmas time, but really things that we should be doing all year long. So the topics that we're going to cover over the next few weeks are being generous, being intentional, being hospitable, being encouraging, and being hopeful. But today, we're going to kick off with our first Christmas to-do list, and that is, obviously, be thankful, right? So we're coming up into Thanksgiving this week. This week we celebrate Thanksgiving, and for most people it's a time to get together with family, to eat some food, and for some of you, to watch football, right? So sadly, the focus is not normally the name of that the holiday states, being thankful. In fact, many times we fall into the trap of the exact opposite, not necessarily just on Thanksgiving, but just around this time. A lot of times we're ungrateful, we're unappreciative, we're resentful, we're discontent. So I came up with a few common reasons why we're like this. And I don't have any personal experience with being negative like that. But here is what I think that most people might think about, right? So sometimes we're ungrateful because our outlook is that we deserve good and everything should go right. So when things go right, we just think, of course, this is the way it's supposed to be. So we forget to give thanks to God. We forget to give thanks to anyone else who attributed to the great things that we have in our lives. Sometimes we're unappreciative because we did not get or do not have what we expect to have. And what we do have doesn't seem to be good enough because we kind of compare it to other situations and maybe other things that people have. So we're kind of unappreciative for where we are in life and what we have in life and what's going on in our life because we compare and contrast with what other people have. Maybe we're resentful and maybe we focus in on negative situations and we're bitter and angry because of what happened. We fail to look at a negative situation and find the positives in it and find out how God is working in us. So we become resentful, we become bitter and angry. Or maybe we're just discontent because we have a hard time celebrating our blessings. We're just not content with where we are right now. It's a very bad place to be. So in the book of Colossians, we're going to learn how, from the example of the Apostle Paul, on what each believer can be thankful for. So no matter who you are, okay, we're going to learn what each believer in Christ, can be thankful for no matter what our circumstance or situation is. Now, for context, Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. He wrote to the church in Colossae. One of the main themes of the letter was there was a dangerous teaching that was threatening the church. It was false teaching that was threatening the church. One that minimized Jesus and undermined the new identity these believers, or we as believers, have in Christ. So Paul was writing to warn against these false teachings and to encourage the believers in their growth towards Christian maturity. And in view of that, what Paul was going through, he actually pointed out that there are many things that we can be thankful for. So now get in your mind, sitting in prison, writing a letter to other Christians and saying, basically, these are things that you and I as Christians can be thankful for, so no matter what our circumstance is. So in the letter, we're going to find 7 references. So what I'm going to do is like a crash course right through this letter. And we're going to find 7 references to Paul being thankful despite his circumstance and something negative happening to the church that he's actually writing to, which was people trying to steer them away with false teaching. So we can also be thankful for these things regardless of our circumstances. So the first that we're going to look at is this. We can be thankful for other Christians. So Paul starts off the letter, Colossians 1:3, says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Okay, so Paul wrote this letter and stated that he was with Timothy. So in the introduction, he said, me and Timothy. Okay, and then they prayed for these believers, as we should be doing. We're going to get more into that later on. So in this, he's saying, in our prayers, we thank God that we have other Christians. Now, the local church is a place to connect to other believers. Now, it starts with the connection we have in Jesus, the fact that we are Christians, the fact that we have trusted in Christ. So no matter where you go, no matter where you move to, no matter where you vacation to, if you walk into a Bible-believing, a gospel-centered church, you will find other people that believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, that believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave to prove that he is God, that believe that Jesus said all who trust in him, all who believe in him will be saved, are born again, were lost, now found, were blind, now see. So that's our connection. So don't ever walk into church and say, I have nothing in common with these people. Because if you believe in Christ and they believe in Christ, that is your first and main connection. Now, being a believer in Jesus secures our salvation. But guess what? When we get involved in the local church, meaning with the people in the church, essentially, you are part of the church family. Okay? So when you believe in Christ, you're adopted into God's family, right? You're adopted into God's family. But when you actually get yourself involved in the church and build relationships in the church, you kind of become part of the family. You're not that family member that doesn't show up for Thanksgiving, okay? You're not that family member that doesn't want to be around the other family members. You're the family member that says, you know what? I want to get involved. And that's something to be thankful for. And I do have to say this. When I was 20 years old, I came on staff here at the church as the part-time youth pastor. And I am so thankful that God led me here, okay? That God brought me to this place, because in the past 3 decades, so many things have happened in my life, and you, many of you, have really been part of it. I got married right here in this spot. Okay, all my kids were dedicated right here in this church. All my kids were baptized either in the baptismal or down at Laurel Boulevard Bay. My kids were brought up in this church. Many of you were Sunday school teachers and youth leaders that had a huge impact. Now I could say I have 3 adult children that are all walking with the Lord. And so much of that is attributed to the fact that we were involved in a community of believers that love them and serve them. But not only that, we've been through great times together, and we've been through very difficult times together. And the church has always been there to support me and my family. Now, many of you probably feel the same way about this church, because you have been here through good times and through bad times in your life. Your children were raised here. They've gone to Sunday school and youth ministry and were built into. Likewise, many of you have enjoyed good times and endured difficult times. A huge part of our Christian experience would be lost without the local church. When I think about my Christian life, take away being a pastor. When I think about my Christian life, I could not imagine not being part of a local church. I cannot imagine not having a connection, not waking up on Sunday morning and saying, wow, I get to go there and worship with all these other people that are going through similar things to me or have been through similar things, who could look at me and say, hey, this is how I navigated this, or you're making this decision, how can I pray for you? I could probably point out so many situations in my life that if I did not have the connection and the involvement to God's people, it would have gone south because I didn't have other people steering me in the way towards the Lord. I realize that when we do step out and get involved, I realize this, when we do step out and get involved, we're going to set ourselves up for a few things. They're called problems, issues, and disappointments. Okay? Have you ever noticed that? When you get involved with other people, there's going to be problems, issues, and disappointments. And I will be the first to tell you, it will happen here. But I can assure you, the blessings will far outweigh those things. The blessings will far outweigh those things. And most of you here today can say that you are thankful for the other people in this church. Amen. And you know what? I'll tell you this. If you're new here, step out. Get involved. It's something to be thankful for. And I'm not saying get involved in necessarily service. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But just get involved with other people. Go to an event. Go to a Bible study. Get to know people. It's amazing the friendships that you can forge through the local church. So the first thing that Paul is saying is like, hey, listen, I'm thankful for other Christians. And some of you, maybe you have really not much of a family, or maybe your family's just so banged up, your relationships are just not good there. Well, the good news is now you have a church family that you can actually have some relationships with and be encouraged and built up by. Next, as believers, we're thankful for our inheritance. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So we're qualified in Christ to share in the inheritance of the saints, which are fellow believers. The saints are fellow believers. Okay. I know I talk about this a lot, but it's because our hope is not in this world. It is in the next. The promise to all believers is that we inherit the kingdom of God. What we experience here on this earth is not the end game, okay? It's not the end game. When we pass from here, we inherit the kingdom of heaven. Billy Graham said it this way. The Bible says that as long as we are here on earth, we are strangers in a foreign land. There are enemies to be confronted before we return home. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is the reason why we never totally feel comfortable here. I mean, we can get to points where we deceive ourselves in thinking we feel comfortable, but we never totally feel comfortable here. We never totally feel safe here. We never totally feel fulfilled in this life. But here's the truth. We are not created to. We're created for something better. Now, we can be thankful for our inheritance, and the knowledge of that lights our way. The saints in the light. It lights our way so we can see what the real purpose of life is. We can see where real hope comes from. And when we do that, we're thankful. We're thankful. Third, we are thankful that Jesus is our foundation. He says this in Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This verse tells us we're rooted in Jesus. The idea here is this, that a tree with no roots or rotten roots will die or fall over. Now, some of you might remember in Psalm chapter 1, it reminds us that when we trust in Jesus and follow him, we're like a tree planted next to a river with strong roots. And the river waters those roots, and those roots continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper to be a foundation for that tree. It says we're built up in him, reminding us that we have a firm foundation in Jesus. We can be thankful for that foundation we have. Have you ever found yourself thinking or saying, and I find myself doing this all the time, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have Jesus in my life. I don't know. Like, there has been things in my life where I've had to confront where if I didn't have Jesus, I don't know what I would do. I am like baffled sometimes when I look at people who are not believers who are living this life. I'm like, I don't know how they do it. I honestly don't know how they do it without the foundation of Christ. I realize that no matter what happens in my life, the foundation I have will not change. The foundation I have will not change. So when we talk about being thankful for other things, like being thankful for the church and stuff, if everything went south in the church, if everybody was like, bad people, and just, I would say, well, you know what? I still have a foundation in Jesus. I still have a foundation in Jesus. It will never change. Everything else can change, and many things will. My health, my family, my friends, my finances, my life situations. I mean, when we evaluate our lives, all these things are ever changing. You know how people are like, I don't like change? It's like, well, too bad. Guess what? It's changing. Whether you like it or not, it is changing. But you know what doesn't? Jesus. Jesus doesn't change. The foundation we have in him. So Jesus is our foundation. We were taught that through his word. And we have the opportunity to teach that to others. And a way that we do that is first by being thankful. How will others know where our foundation lies if we're never thankful for that foundation? If we never even verbalize to some people, maybe unbelievers say, I don't know what I would do in life without Jesus. I don't know where I would be right now without Jesus. When somebody compliments you, oh, you're a nice, kind person, or thanks for doing this, and you're like, you know what? I gotta give the glory to Jesus. He's the one inspiring me, okay? In me, in myself, be very honest with other people. I am not a good person, okay? Jesus saved me, okay? Jesus changed me. Jesus is the one who works through me. Do you know why I say I'm not a good person? Because the Bible tells me that, okay? So any of you are like, yeah, I got a friend, they're a really good person. No, they're not, okay? They're actually a sinner in need of a savior, okay? And people push back on that. People don't like to hear that, do they? Okay? But, you know, if you want to know what the world is filled with, turn on the news, okay? And you'll see it's not good. It's sinners in need of a savior. So next, we're thankful for this. As we're moving right along through the book of Colossians, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Peace is something we all desire, right? Peace and quiet, peace, not war. Most importantly, as Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what? In life, we do not appreciate peace until we don't have it. Have you noticed that? You don't appreciate peace until it's taken from you or you don't have it. I still remember before we had kids, life was a little more peaceful, right? Most of you know this. It was for me and Amy, 4 years by ourselves, right? We're a young married couple living by ourselves. At times, we thought life was hectic, right? Because we were both working. But honestly, we lived a pretty quiet life. Then we had kids. Now, don't get me wrong on this one. Having children is a huge blessing. It has always been a blessing. It continues to be a blessing from God. But when people describe raising children, no one ever said it is peaceful. No one said that. Anyone here? No. Nobody says it's a peaceful time of life, okay? The truth be told, no matter what your situation in life, kids, no kids, work, retirement, crisis, celebration, you always have access to peace that Jesus can give you. Always have access. We can be thankful for that. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Supplication is asking earnestly. So now connecting what Paul says in Philippians to what he says here in Colossians, that the way we let Christ rule in our heart is by going to him with each and every situation. You know, we try to instill peace, right? We try to control it. But Philippians and Colossians, Paul tells us, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Go to him, beg him, supplication, beg him, ask him, Lord, give me peace. Maybe some of you are going through a very difficult situation. You're like, I don't know how I can ever have peace. I think about it before I go to sleep. I think about it as soon as I wake up. It's annoying me constantly. I have no control over it. There's other people involved. They're not changing. Everything's messed up. I can't deal with this. You can't, but Christ can. He can give you that peace. You can look in the face of every situation and say, okay, I don't like the way this is going, but I'm at peace with it. Because if God is allowing it in, he's going to work through the situation. So when we do that, we can have peace. And when we experience that peace, the first thing we should remember is thank him. When you feel that peace, the first thing you should remember is thank him. Next, we're thankful that we can sing praises. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This verse touches on a lot of things. This verse touches on a lot of things that are involved in a worship service, teaching the word, admonishing. You know what that means? It's a warning. Okay, so sometimes when I teach, right, you'll hear maybe some head knowledge type stuff like, oh, that happened historically in the Bible. Then you'll hear some heart knowledge, some things that press upon your heart, things that you need to deal with. Maybe you're doing something wrong and the Lord's using it to convict you, to admonish you and warn you not to continue to go that way. So your head, heart, and then sometimes it's hands. Go and do, right? Go and do. Like today, it's go and do. Go be thankful, okay? Thankful before other people, thankful to God, thankful to your friends, to your family. As believers, we do these things, right? We come here in worship service, we teach, we admonish. Maybe someone in this fellowship here is a good friend of yours, and you know when you come on Sunday and you talk to them, they might ask you some tough questions. How'd that go? I know you were dealing with somebody at work that you wanted to tell off, but I told you last week, don't do it. And now I'm going to ask you, what'd you do? Okay. They're admonishing you. They're helping you as a believer go through this life. Keep you from sinful traps and decisions that we should avoid. We do this in the wisdom of the Lord, and we gain that from the word. So we come here, we meet together, and we do these things. But one of the things that he points out here is we sing. Now, this is so important. There are not many places that we sing, right? Where do we sing? Like, okay, maybe you go to a concert and you sing along, but where do you sing at home? Yeah, like once a year. Happy birthday, right? You know, that's about it. I mean, I don't know about you, but like the Mrazics don't wake up in the morning with songs, you know what I mean? Like, that's not the way we roll. I like to sing. My family likes to sing. I don't have a good voice. My wife loves the fact that I sit up front so she doesn't have to hear my bad voice because it messes up her worship, I'm told. So here's the thing. There are not many places that we sing. But we worship in song for many different reasons. But one of the main reasons is we're expressing our thanks to the Lord. We all know this. Music has power. It moves us emotionally. It inspires us to think about what the Lord has done in our lives. And when we sing praises to him, we're expressing that thankfulness. Maybe for you, I know there is for me, there are certain songs that we sing that just bring you back to a time when you were struggling with something, when God was working on you in a certain area, when God was trying to communicate something to you, and he just pressed upon your heart. This is what you need to hear. This is what you need to hear. So singing should be something you look forward to. Again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's not the pregame, okay? It's not, this is part of the worship service. No matter which team is up there, we're blessed with so many talented people. No matter which team, don't ever walk in and be like, oh man, that's not the one I like, right? No, you walk in and say, I don't care. I'm here to praise the Lord. I don't care if it's fast. I don't care if it's slow. I don't care if it's loud. I don't care if it's quiet. I am here to praise the Lord. If you don't know the song, here's what I suggest. Read the words. Read the words. Try to catch on, but read the words. What's this song saying about the Lord? How is this song helping me be more thankful? Also, now we don't only sing in church. You can sing in your car, right? You can put your worship music on in your car or at home, and you can sing along. Those things, it's kind of odd in a sense, but the Lord desires us to praise him like that, to sing songs to his name. Next, we're thankful for opportunities to serve. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul is telling us here that our words and our deeds are actually opportunities to serve the Lord because we bring glory to him in those things. Let's think about this for a minute. What are your opportunities in life? What opportunities do you have in life? Well, you know, the basic opportunities, many of us have opportunities to have a job, to make money, to provide for our family. Maybe you have an opportunity to help your family and friends in times of need. Maybe you have an opportunity to use your skills and abilities to serve in the church, just to name a few. But sometimes we look at things like this and say, I don't want to do that, or that takes time and effort. I don't feel like doing those things. And that's why many of us don't do those things. I mean, some of the things we have to do, like go to work, but maybe some of the other things that are extra things, when you thought your Saturday was going to be your Saturday, right? I'm not doing. And then a friend or a family member calls up and be like, man, I really need a hand here with this. And you're like, it was my Saturday. Are you trying to steal my Saturday from me, right? So now, if we look at these opportunities and are thankful to God for them, it is a reminder that we get to do those things. Like, imagine if we looked at those things and said, not I have to do them, I get to do them. Imagine you got up every day and thanked God and said, I get to go to work today. Many of you don't say that. You're like, I have to go to work today. If you say, I get to go to work today and God's blessed me with this opportunity to work, now all of a sudden he's getting glory because you're looking at it from the perspective that you should. Do you think your work day would be different if you woke up tomorrow morning and said, I get to go here? I think it would. I think just that positive thought might make you think, wow, some people don't get this opportunity. Imagine when a friend or a family member was in need and you automatically thought, wow, now I have an opportunity to help them. And I want to thank God for that opportunity. Here's my time to help my friend or family member in need. Imagine if you heard the church had a need that you could meet and you thought to yourself, now I have an opportunity to serve God. I get to do this. This is why we never guilt people into things like serving. We never want you to feel guilted into serving. We want you to realize, man, this is an opportunity that you get to do. You want to be thanking God and us for giving you that opportunity, right? You want to say, thanks, Pastor Mike. I'm glad you asked, okay? That's your mindset. Because guess what? You're not doing it for me. You're not even doing it for the church. Who are you doing it for? You're doing it for the Lord. And that's so important. When we look at each and every situation like that, now all of a sudden we're doing things for the Lord and we're thanking him. I get to do this, not I have to do this. And finally, we can be thankful for prayers. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras, he was a fellow minister that was actually from Colossae. He was like kind of like a pastor in the church in Colossae. He ended up in prison with Paul for preaching the gospel. Paul says, he greets you, and he says, this guy, he struggles in prayer for you guys all the time. He knows that there's like false teachers trying to lead you astray. He knows what's going on. He knows many of you. He knows your temptations. He knows what he's dealing with. But he has a deep concern for you, and he's praying for you. I know that many of you are concerned and worried about fellow believers in your life, for safety, for health, for discernment, to make good and godly decisions, for protection from going the wrong way. Isn't it good to know that we can turn our worries and concerns into prayers to the Lord? Rather than being like, oh, I'm really concerned about this one, they're going the wrong way, we could say, you know what, I'm praying for them. I'm praying, I'm going to the God of this universe, the one that knows everything, created everything, and I'm praying on their behalf. We should be thankful that we can do that for other people. You know, I can't stand when Christians, you know, they'll say something like this. And, you know, I've had a couple of people in my life, you know, they finally, like, it's like they've finally given up and they say, well, all that's left to do now is pray. Really? That's where you're ending? That's where you should start, okay? I got this problem. I got this issue. I got this thing that's in my life. I'm going to start with prayer. And through prayer, God's going to reveal to me what I need to do and what I need to not do and what he's going to do. Start with prayer. Don't end with it. Aren't you glad and thankful that you can do that? But not only that, you should be thankful that others are doing that for you. I know for me, when people tell me, oh, Pastor Mike, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. I know that my family and my life would not be the way it is if I didn't have the people praying for me. If I didn't have you praying for me. So when people say this, Pastor Mike, I've been praying for you. I'm praying for your study time to make sure that you have the time that you need to focus so we get what we need from God's word. I'm like, thank the Lord, because in my flesh, I can be very lazy. I can procrastinate. I could do all the wrong things when it comes to sitting down and focusing my mind. But to know that people are praying for me, you feel the prayers. To know that I am on people's prayer list is very encouraging because I know that prayer works. And I'm thankful to God for that. Well, guess what? You're on other people's prayer list. And if you're wondering who, and if you're not on anybody's, I'm going to go back to the first point, right? Other Christians. Make yourself known. Step out there. Get involved with other people. You're never going to make the list if we can't even remember your name, okay? You're never going to make a prayer list. You're never going to be prayed for by another believer if you don't actually share your struggles, your hopes, your dreams, all the things that are going on in your life. You're never going to make that list. But when you're with another believer and you share those things, guess what? Now you have an opportunity to be prayed for. I mean, think about Epaphras sitting in jail, struggling with what? In prayers for other people. I don't know about you, but I think if I was in jail, I'd be like, woe is me. This stinks. How am I getting out of here? Can people pray for me to get me out, right? No, this guy's praying for them. This guy's praying for them. So we can be thankful that we have other people in our lives, other believers that we can pray for, but can also pray for us. Now, this morning, as we observe communion, it's a constant reminder to be thankful for what Jesus has done. I mean, we're rolling into Thanksgiving. It's an American holiday, obviously, but it's a time for us to say, hey, you know what? What am I thankful for? And the first and foremost things that you and I all need to be thankful for is the fact that Jesus was willing to die for us. And that's why we observe communion each week now. So we end with this time of remembrance. We also need to look at each area of our life and evaluate, am I a thankful person no matter what my circumstances are? And I don't want to belittle any of your circumstances. Some of you are probably going through some very difficult things right now. And you find it very hard to be thankful during those things. Let me just tell you, when you're thankful in your circumstance for these things and many others that the Lord has blessed us with, because this is not a total comprehensive list. Let me just tell you, when you're thankful, all of a sudden your perspective changes. So I'm going to give you a few moments on your own to just look at your life, look at what God's doing, and remember what he has done. So I'm going to give you a few moments and then we'll partake together. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. He said, "This is my body given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of my blood shed for you, the cup of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Please bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here, Lord. I'm thankful that there are so many things. We just touched on 7 things that we could be thankful for, Lord, but there's so many more. And so I just pray that as we move into this holiday, that we never forget these things that you have done, that we can be thankful for them. Lord, I'm thankful that now we could close this service by singing praises to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.